The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Shalach Lecho.
Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe l'mor. Hashem said to Moshe, Shlach lecho anoshim b'yosur es eres kenan, asher ani neisen livnei Yisrael. Send out people to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the children of Israel. Ishecho d'ishecho l'mati aleisov tishlochu kol nosi bohem. Let the nosi, the leader of every tribe, send out one person from each tribe. And Moshe sent out from the desert of Paran in accordance to Hashem, and they were all people of stature, great people of stature. This is taking place in the second year from the going out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, and B'chedesh HaShlishi, in the third month of going out of Egypt, which was actually 50 days, it's just short of 50 days, they came to Har Sinai, Midbar Sinai, the desert of Sinai, and they came around the mountain, and there on the 6th of Sivan they received the Torah, and there they remained there for almost a year. And now we're speaking just after a year, and after Sivan comes Tammuz, and this is taking place Erev Reish Chodesh Tammuz, just before the month of Tammuz. It's very similar to about our time now. We're now at Chof Gimel, Chof Dalet, the 23rd, 24th of Sivan, and this is taking place just before the month of Tammuz. And they sent out the Maraglim to look at the land. They were holding just outside of Eretz Yisrael. And actually, it would have taken them 3 days, even less than 3 days, 3 days to get there. It was a three-day journey from Midbar Sinai, from the desert of Sinai, to Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to make it for them in one day. But a series of events took place which delayed everything from the month of Dur for approximately a few months till now. And these were a series of events because of the complaining and the chatoim, the various averus of certain parts of Israel. And now they were holding at the border, and the people said, we wanted to see the land, we want to see if it's a strong land and who's living there and so forth. So Moshe sent out these Meraglim. As the Torah tells us, they scouted out the land, and they walked the whole circumference of the land over a period of 40 days. And then Pasuk Chofei, it states, Vayashubu mitu ha'aretz miketzad bohim yom. After 40 days they returned. Vayechu vayavo el meshe vel aren vel kol hadas bnei Yisrael in midbar Paran kedesho. And they came back to report. Vayashivu osam dovar mes kol ha'edo vayar mes pri aretz. Vayisapru le vayimru. And they said, Bonu el ha'aretz asher shalachtonu. We came to the land which you sent us. Vigam zovas kol avud vashi. And it is true, it is a land of milk, flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit, Ephes, but. And then they started to slander the land. Then the people that occupy this land are fierce, and the cities are enormously fortified. And we saw there the children of the Anok, who are giants. Amalek yeshiv ba'aretz. Amalek is there. Ba'aretz Negev. And the other fierce nations and enemies are there. And so forth and so on. And then So what they were saying is that this land is a land we can never conquer. And then Kaleb ben Yefuna, who was one of the spies, and Yeshua ben Nun, they said, no. We will go up and we will conquer it. We can. And the others said, we cannot. They are stronger than us. And they spoke slander, loshon hara, against the land. And they said that it's a land which consumes its inhabitants, full of giants, full of fierce and ferocious nations, and so forth. Now, when they returned, which was 40 days later, it was Erev Tisha B'Av, just before the 9th of Av. And when the nation heard this, that night they wept. That night, the sages tell us, was the 9th of Av. And that was set aside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem bechisem bechias chinom. You are weeping for no reason whatsoever, because I already promised you that you will go in and you will conquer. Ani kevei aleichem bechia ledoros. I will set this night aside where it will be a night of weeping for something of substance to weep about. So from here was established the date of Tisha B'Av. And as we know, on the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. We went into Golos on Tisha B'Av, and so forth. Many, many great calamities took place on the 9th of Av, and the sources here. And then the nation, Vayilonu al Meshe v'al Aren kol b'nei Yisrael, and this stirred up a whole revolt. They came, the people, and they started to speak against Moshe and Aaron, and they said, "Lumasno be'eretz Yisrael, halavai that we should have died in Egypt, or b'midbar hazeh lumasno, or better we should die here in the desert. Why are you bringing us into this land where it will even be worse, where we will be killed and our wives and our children will be taken captives?" And then they said, and then started a whole revolution. Let's choose for us a new leader. We'll get rid of Moshe and we'll go back to Egypt. And when Kalev and Yeshua saw this, they rent their garments and they said, "The land is a very, very good land. If you want it, you can have it." What happened after that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and was very, very angry, and he decreed that this generation will not see Eretz Yisrael, but they will wander in the desert for 40 years, 1 year for every day that they spied out the land, until all of those who are 20 now will die before 60. And the new generation, those that were here under 20 or those that will be born, they will go in and inherit the land. Last year at this time, we gave a shiur on what the Gemara says on this in Masechta Erechin on Daf Tes Vav, that the Chet HaMeraglim, what was the sin of the Meraglim, of the spies? The basic sin was Loshon Hara. And it was this, that their fate was sealed, that they should die in the desert and never see the land. And the Gemara explains how severe the hate of Loshon Hara is. And we ask the question that this is something difficult to understand, because it's only talk. It's just speech. Well, this evening I would like to first review over a few of the principles that we said last year, and then add to it. Now the Mishnah tells us that we find that if a person violates a young woman, he's given a penalty, a 50 shlaim, 50 shkolim. If he's made his shemra on her, if he slanders her name and says that she was unfaithful to her husband, then he's given, the Torah gives him a penalty of 100 shkolim. So the Mishnah says, from here we learn, ha'emer pepiv chomer mina esem aisho, that what you do with your speech, the Torah considers more serious and more severe than actually what you do with action. And then the Mishnah follows through to our episode. Shekein motzinu shalenishatim gzardin alaveseinu bamidbor ela loshen hor. We find that the gzardin, the decree, was sealed on our fathers in the desert only because of loshen hor. Baruch Hu says that you have tested me 10 times. This is the 10th time you've tested my patience. This time I will seal the fate that you will not live to see Eretz Yisrael, but you will die in the desert. The Gemara comes along and says, Mimai Dilma Katile Molo Sososan. What is the proof? Because this is worse than everything else. Maybe it's because Kodesh Baruch Hu lets the Avedis accumulate until it comes to a certain measure, then he takes action. So maybe it was accumulative. So the Gemara says no, because the Pasuk explicitly says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is decreeing this ki hotzi shemra, because you brought about a bad name to Eretz Yisrael. As it says, Vayinusu sees the Esser Alzen is Katamuzardin. Because of this, I am sealing the fate, not because of the accumulation of all of the 10 times you tested me. Then we could ask the question that maybe here it was so bad because you were speaking against Eretz Yisrael. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like people who speak against Eretz Yisrael. But maybe if you say Loshon Hara against your chaver, your friend, it's not so bad. The Gemara says just the opposite. Tanya Omer Blezer Ben Proto. Bo Ure'ei Kama Godel Keyak Shel Loshon Hara Minolan Mimeraglin. Come and see how terrible the sin of Loshon Hara is. And this we can learn from the Meraglim, from these spies. Umaha motzi shemra al etzim ba'avonim kach. If one speaks slander on stones and on wood, and this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats it, hametzi shemra al chaver al achas kama v'kama. So how much more so is it when one speaks against a human being? So we see just the opposite. That in all of his love for Eretz Yisrael, he did not consider this so as serious as when one speaks against a human being. So therefore, and still he took such action. So we see the terrible hate of Loshon Hara. Now comes the question, why? As we said, it's only speech. One reason we could give, it's mitzat hanizok. What you do with that speech. Because when you slander someone, what are you damaging? You're damaging his reputation. His reputation is his shem tov, is his good name. The sages tell us, Hashem Eilal Gabehem. The greatest attribute that a person has is his good name. A person should always be very, very careful of his name. Because sages tell us that's the greatest attribute of a person. And this is what you hit out at when you slander someone. Hashem Eir Al Etzim. The reputation of a person, the name of a person, tells us of his very essence. So one reason could be because Loshon Hara, slander, is always against the reputation of a person when you speak derogatory against them. That's one reason, and that's a valid reason. But however, we find that the Gemara emphasizes not only what you do to the other person, but the Gemara emphasizes the power of the tongue, the keach hamazik, that how much damage from the power, from the aspect of the one who's doing it. For example, the Gemara brings in Erechin on Tesvav Seif Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Shlema HaMelech King Solomon wrote, "Moves v'chaim b'yad haloshon." Death and life is in the hand of the tongue. The Gemara asks, "What does it mean in the hand of the tongue? V'chi yesh yad haloshon? Is there a hand to the tongue?" So the Gemara goes through a whole discussion to tell us, and then that the tongue is compared to the hand, and it's also compared to an arrow. And we see also that the damage that one can do with his tongue has no gvulim, no limitation. For example, I can stand here and I can say Loshon Hara about someone. It can take its effect not only on the other side of Johannesburg. It can take effect on the other side of South Africa. It can take effect on the other side of the world once the news travels. So it has no limitation. The Gemara brings, we find even those that slander HaKadosh Baruch Hu say Loshon Hara against Hashem. The serpent said Loshon Hara against Hashem. He said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you to eat from the tree for selfish purposes, because he ate from this tree and that gave him the power to create the world, and he doesn't want anyone else to be that great. And the serpent was on the earth and Hashem is in the heavens. So the Gemara concludes as follows. It says there are three attributes to the tongue. First of all, it's magia mino oris l'shamayim. It can reach from the earth to the heavens. There is no limitation. It's mehirais kechetz. It moves with speed like an arrow. That's why it's compared to an arrow. And it's kolel hakol. It's all-encompassing. Like Shlomo HaMelech said, "Hamoves b'hachayim b'yad habloshem." It encompasses both death and life, and this is a chidush. This is something very unique, because death and life are the antithesis of each other, and generally, there's not one thing that can encompass two things that are totally opposite of each other. So, from this, the Maral says that we see that the power of speech, which the tongue is the operator of, firstly, is bilti gashmi. It's not something which is physical, because everything that's physical has a dimension, and everything that's physical, therefore, has its limitation. It has its gvul, its boundaries. We see the tongue, the speech, has no limitation. It can go from one end of the world to the other, especially in our time. Yet in our time, we see, I think they're saying something like almost one third of the world's population will be watching the soccer. So we're talking here of billions and billions of people, and it's from one end of the world to the other instantaneously. So today, for certain, we see that. That even then, Moses says, the chavrach yisloch. News travels by word of mouth. And it could travel from one end of the world to the other. So there's no limitation. This shows it's not a dover gashmi. It's not something which is physical. A hand, Mora says, has its limitation what it can do. Even a chet, an arrow, has its limitation. A bullet has a limitation. Even a missile. Right? They can all go farther than the next thing. But they still have their limitation because they are dover gashmi. They are physical. But speech has no limitation. So he says, from here we see that it's a dover bilti gashmi. It's actually a spiritual power. It's not a physical power. And therefore also we see that, and this is also why it can strike like lightning. It can move as fast as lightning. Something that's physical takes time to move. But the power of speech doesn't. And also we see that it's not similar to other parts of the body. The goof, the body, that's all physical. The seichel, the mind of the person, machshova, intelligence, the mentality, that's something which is totally non-physical. Well, this still has something physical to it, because it's coming from the tongue, and the dibur has sound to it, and so forth. What we see it is, it's a keach chodosh. It's a different power. It's a new power that the Almighty placed in the human being. And this is why this unique power can encompass both life and death. There's another Gemara that states that it's yeshev becheshech ubeseser. It dwells, the tongue, which is the master of the speech, dwells in darkness. Why does it dwell in darkness? Because it has the power to bring out the innermost secrets of the person. Person has depth. He has secrets which are known only to himself. It's the tongue that brings these secrets out, this depth out, into the world. Bein l'chaim, bein l'mavos. If it's good, it can be life. If it's bad, it can be death. But this shows also that it's bringing out the innermost part of the person. L'chaim and l'mavos. And the Gemara that brings that it has these three attributes. It says where there are no limitations to it, and it's as fast as an arrow, and it encompasses both life and death in one organ. Mentions three things. We find consistently that the Gemara mentions three attributes by the power of the tongue. For example, it says, B'marova Amrinon, in Eretz Yisrael they used to say the Kotel Gimel, that with his tongue you could kill three people. Ha'emro, it destroys the one who speaks the Loshon Hara. Ul Makabel, the one who believes it. La'emrim Olov, and the one who it is said about. Again we see the three attributes. Another Gemara, the Gemara says, Magdil Avenis, Kol HaMesapel Loshon Hara, Magdil Avenis Keneged Gimel Averis Chamuras. The one who speaks Loshon Hara, so he, his Avera, are equal to the three most severe Averas, which is Averis Zora, Gila Reis, and Shvichas Domim. Adultery and incest, and murder. So again, three. Now, Mr. Maral explains because this is a power which utilizes all of the three facets of the human being. The human being is physical. He was given a nefesh, emotional, and a mentality. The tongue utilizes all three. You have to have a physical organ in order to be able to speak. You have to have a tongue, you have to have a mouth, and so forth. You have to have a voice box. You have to use the emotions of the person to enable a person to speak. There are many people who cannot speak, and that's because of emotional problems. And your thoughts, you are verbalizing in speech. So it utilizes all three facets of the human being. And this is why we find so many times this number three related to the tongue. And actually, this also would be the reason why it's if a person uses it for evil, it becomes equivalent to these three Averas, because these three Averas, each one is miyuchad, each one is individually related to one part of the body. For example, when it comes to idolatry, that's the cardinal Avera of the mentality, of the intelligence. A person becomes a believer in foreign gods and so forth, foreign ideologies. When it comes to Shfichas Domim, murder, that's the ultimate Aveda of the emotions. Because what drives a person to Ritzicha, to murder, to spilling of blood? Hatred, revenge, anger, and so forth, jealousy. And the Gila Arayis, adultery and incest, these are drives of the physical body. But Loshon Hara, which is utilizing the total person, his Aveira is equal to all. Now, this is if you use it for evil. What happens if you use it for good? So it would be the same thing in the contrary. And this is why David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Samech Tes, Halalo Shem Hashem B'Shir V'Agadlenu B'Todo V'Seitiv L'Hashem Mishor Par. I will praise Hashem with song, and I will make him great with my thanks. And this will be better to Hashem than bringing a sacrifice of a bull to him. Now, this would be the reason. Because when you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by bringing him a physical gift, it's limited. When you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the praise of your mouth, with the praise of your words, that's far greater. This is what David HaMelech said. And this is why we find that the Torah and the Tanakh refers to the speech as Niv Sosfosfayim. Niv Sosfosfayim, Tenuvah, the fruits of the lips. Because the main fruits of a person comes through this. Now, just to give an ultimate source of this, we find that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in the beginning of Bereishis, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, it states, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. Ofer min Adoma, he created him from the dust of the earth. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Vayir ha'odem lenefesh chayo, And now a person became a nefesh chaya, a living being. Now, first it states that he was made ofer min adoma. He was made from the earth. All right, that's Adam Agashmi, that's physical man. Then it states that he blew into his nostrils a living soul. Right, that's spiritual man. So what more do we need? First he was made, formed from the earth. So this is the Adam Agashmi, the physical man. Then it states he blew into his nostrils a living soul. So now he has a spirit. So finished. What more do we need? No, it says Vayio Adam LeNefesh Chaya. Now he became a Nefesh Chaya. He became a living person, a living Nefesh. What does this mean? So the Targum Ungele says V'Havas Bodim LeRuach Memalo. He became a speaker. He became a person with a Keach HaDibor, a power of speech. Rashi brings something similar. Rashi says, what does it mean he became a Nefesh Chaya? Because animals also are similar to this. He says, no. He became a Nefesh Chaya Niteisev by a day of Dibor. He became now a living soul with Dibor. So we see that the final perfection of man was the fact that he could speak. And this is why we find also that the sages, when they refer to man, if they refer to a stone, they call it a daimim. That's what's silent. If they refer to a plant, they call it as a tzimeach. It's something which grows. If they refer to animal life, they call it chaya, behema v'chaya. When they refer to a man, they call him hamadaber, the speaker. In other words, the high point of man was that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu formulated him, formed him from the earth, and became physical, and he blew into his nostrils a spirit from above, and he became spiritual. Now we need the mezigo, now we need the synthesis of the spirit and the physical put together. And what do we get? We get the Nefesh Achaya, the Medaber. They can use all of these powers and formulate his feelings and his thoughts into speech. So this was the height of man, and therefore it's the greatest power of man. This is what is brought. Now, these are the principles which we mentioned in last year's shiur. Now, I'd like to go a little further. The the Maral brings a number of midrashim in the Nesiv Aloshim, Nesiv Zeilim, in Perek Aleph, which I'd like to quote, and then it'll help to cast more light on this matter. It brings a number of stories. One is from the Medrash Shochetov, Perek Lamedtes. Achaim v'amoves biyad haloshon. This that Shlema Melech King Solomon said, where death and life is in the hands of the tongue. Ma'isohaya b'melech paras. There was a happening with the king of Persia, Shecholo. He became sick. Omru leharefim ein lecharafu at shiovir loch cholev levio. Menasa lecharafu. The doctor said that the only way you can become cured is by drinking the milk of a female lion. So they had a problem. Where are they going to get the milk from a female lion? Ono echod, the Omar. Actually, the only time a female lion will have milk, if she has cubs. It's not advisable to go near a female lion when she has cubs. Ono echod v'omar ani meiviloch, cholav levio. So someone said, I will bring it to you if you want. Yitnu li eser izim. But you must give me 10 goats. So he said, all right, give him 10 goats. He took the 10 goats and he went to a guvaroyis. He went to a den of lions. And there was a levia, there was a female lion, and she was giving milk to her cubs that she had. One day he stood quite far away. He killed the goat and he threw it at her. She ate it. Next day he came a little closer and he did the same thing, threw another goat to her. She ate it. It wasn't long before they became friends, and he could play with her. Then he took from her milk, and she made no objections. When he was going back, he had a dream, and he saw that all of the avorim, all of his organs, were fighting with each other. The leg said that I am the strongest of all the organs, because if I wouldn't have carried the person to the den of lions, then we would have never gotten the milk. The hand said, no, I am the strongest, because I was the one who was able to do this. And the heart said, I am the one who gave the aids to the council. The tongue answered and said, if I wouldn't have told the king that we would do it, then nothing would have been done. Aren't you afraid to compare yourself to us? You live in a lonely, dark place, and the tongue is so weak it doesn't even have a bone structure. So the tongue said, today, in the next day, you will see that I rule over you. At any rate, he woke up, and this is the dream he had. He went to the king, and when he was going to tell the king and present him the milk, he was going to tell him, here's the milk from the lioness. Instead, all of a sudden, his tongue tripped him up, and he said, here is milk kalbaso. Here is a milk from a female dog. The melech became very, very angry, and he commanded that they should hang him. All of his different limbs and organs then started to cry. And the tongue said, didn't I tell you that I am the strongest of all of you? And just like I was able to put you all in danger, I will save you. So when it came time to hang him just before, he called to the guard and he said, bring me back to the king, because I have a good defense to tell him. Came back to the king and he says, why did you command that you should hang me? He said, because I told you to bring the milk of a lioness, and now you brought me the milk of a female dog. He said, firstly, what's the difference to you? It will cure you. Secondly, if you'll have your chemist test this, you'll see it's from a lioness. It's just that I refer to a lioness as a female dog. They did. It was true. And he set him free. Not only set him free, he awarded him. What do we see? Mobis v'chaim b'yat haloshen. That in the tongue is the power of death and life. Another medrash. And this Mobis v'chaim b'yat haloshen. Meishu Omar Zechola Avram Litzkok L'Yisrael. When Hashem wanted to destroy all of Israel, Meishu came and he said, remember the deeds of Avram, of Yitzchok, and Yisrael. And Hashem listened and he forgave them. When Mordechai reported to Esther what the two servants wanted, how they wanted to kill Ahasuerus, Vatemer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. So Esther reported it to the king in the name of Mordechai, Vehechyu Uma Shleima, and through this, a whole nation of Israel was saved. So here we see that through the tongue, through mere speech, all of Israel was saved. Doeg Omar Dover, Veneher Gunev Ira Kahanim. Doeg, on the other hand, there was a Roshu. He was the one who said that David was helped by the people, the Kahanim of Nov. He told King Saul, Shaul HaMelech this. And because of that, Shaul and Doeg eventually killed off the whole city. We see with his tongue, he destroyed the whole city. And the serpent through his tongue brought death to the whole world. What do we see? We see that with one's tongue he can bring life to a world, with one's tongue he can bring death to a world. All of this comes to tell us the great power of the tongue. The essence, very essence of life lies in the tongue, and the very essence of death lies in the tongue. And the tongue is so great that this one organ can encompass both. Another case, another medrash. This is this he brings from Vayikra Rabba Paraklamet Gimel. Omer B'chir Barabba Ha'is Elefon of Kalkulo Shultenim Ochlat Shle Yisra Bovis Biad Loshen Yisra Chaim Biad Loshen. If a person has a cluster of ta'anim, a cluster of figs. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, you have to give 10% of it, especially during the time we had the Beis Hamikdash and so forth, you would have to give 10% of it to the Levim. If you did not, and you ate it without that, the penalty was very, very severe from heaven. So it's stay. And how do you give Meiser? You can give Meiser with Dibur B'Alma, just with speech, just by saying that this should be Meiser on that, should be the 10% for that. So through his speech, he can have life, or he can have death. Rav Gamliel, Omer L'Tavi Avdei. Rav Gamliel said to Tavi, Rav Gamliel had a, we learned this in Masechtos, okay, he had a very wise servant, slave, Tavi. He was a Talmud Chochem. So he told his Eved, Puk Zovin Lenoa Tzidit Tava Min Shuka. Go buy me some meat, which is very, very good, from the marketplace. He went and he brought a tongue. Then he said, go buy me some meat, which is not good, from the marketplace. He went and he bought a tongue. He says, how come when I told you to buy something good, you bought a tongue, and when I told you to buy something bad, you bought a tongue? He said, Mori mino tavo u mino bisho. Kad hi tav les tav mino. Kad hi bish, baish les baish mino. He says, the master of that tongue can use it either way. If he uses it for good, there's nothing better. If he uses it for bad, there's nothing worse. Rebbe also suited the Talmidov. Rebbe made a party for his Talmidim. Hevi lifneihem l'sheinis rachin u'l'sheinis koshin. He brought before them tongues, which was a delicacy. Some were hard and some were soft. Hizchilu beiri en sarachim amenichim asakashim. So the students, the Talmidim, were carefully selecting the soft ones from the hard ones. Omalei bonai, kach ye l'shencha murach elu im elu. He says, your tongues always should be soft with each other, not hard with each other. Ochal uberech, chayim b'yad aloshen. Omal loshen hora, shukosha moves b'yad aloshen. He says, if you eat and you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu a brocha, you give him a brocha before, you bench afterwards, you have life from your tongue. If you speak Lashon Hara, you have death from the same tongue. So from all of this we see that from one's tongue, the way he uses it, the world is at it. He can bring life to a world, he can bring death to a world, he can bring life to himself, or heaven forbid, death to himself. Then there's another interesting story that we can learn something from. This is in the Medrash Vayikra Rabba Perek Tes Zayin. Ma'aseh Bereich Lechot. There was a merchant. Shemachzeh Bayoras. He came into the city. V'amaman Boy Sam Chaim. And he started to shout out, "Who wants to buy a sam?" A sam was like a plaster. It was a plaster, a medical plaster that you would put with that medicine on it. You would put it on your body. A plaster that will give you life. Shamat Basr Bianai, the daughter of Bianai, heard. Also, Omra Lavia. So she went and she said to her father, "Reichel Echob Mesabi Beimaman Boisam Chaim." There's a merchant outside, and he's calling out, "Who wants a plaster that will bring life to a person?" Kore Rabbi Yanai Leisei Reichel. So Rabbi Yanai called in this merchant, and he said, "Arheini noi Eisesam Chaim Shatum Mecher. Show me this medicine, this plaster that you put on, and it brings life to a person." Heitzi mi kuposei sefer tehillim. So he took out a sefer tehillim from his bag. Pesach v'heilich, and he opened it and thumbed through it until he came to the posuk, "Mi ho ishe chofetz chaim, ohev yomim lireis tov." Who is the person who wants life? Ohev yomim lireis tov. He wants days of goodness, to see goodness from them. Metzor l'sheinche meiro, usfasecho medabe mirmo. Then let him guard his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. Holach Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai went, ve'achilu ve'eshkeu ve'nosen le'vov sloim. He gave him lunch, nice meal, gave him what to drink, and he gave him a large amount of money. After he left, Omru le'bitai. So his daughter said to him, "Lo ha'yisi yodei posuk zeh." Didn't you know this posuk? What was this meant? What did he tell you? What did he sell you? What are you so excited about? You didn't know this posuk in Tehillim. In fact, as we say it in Davening, yeah, "Lo ha'yisi yodei posuk zeh." Omalo, he said to her, Rabbi Yanai said to her, "Hein, yes, I knew it, ela shebozeh ubiriro." But he came and he clarified it for me. Now, the Merala asks that yesh lismaya me'od me'od, that one can wonder very much on this story. What did he come to tell Rabbi Yanai? What did he come to explain to him? It's explicit. Posuk in Tehillim. Mi'oisha chovetz chaim. Who is the person that wants life? Ohev yomim lireis tov. He loves days, his days. He wants to see goodness from them. Metzor l'shein chomero. Let him guard his tongue from evil. Usfasayim medabe mirmo. And his lips from speaking deceit. What did he teach Rabbi Yanai? Apostle can tell him. This is what his daughter asked. He never learned that posuk before. Why was Rabbi Yanai so excited? He says he clarified it for him. What did he clarify? The Moral says like this. What he clarified is, he said, who wants a sam chayim? Who wants a medical plaster that you put on your body and it brings you life? And then he went to the posuk in Tehillim where David HaMelech said that this is what's going to bring you life. Now the kasha is, the question is, there are many things that bring a person life, both physical and spiritual. For example, today if you go to the doctor or you go to the nutritionist and you tell them what will bring you health and life, 1,000 books written on the subject. This one says eat food that's only cooked, and this one says eat food that's only raw. And this one will say use this type of oils, and that one will say eat this type of oils. And this one will say eat protein, the other one will say don't eat protein and don't smoke, and so forth and so on. That's in the physical realm. This one will say the main thing is what you eat, the other one will say the main thing is what you exercise you do, and so on. But even if you go, even if you go into the spiritual world, go to the Chachamim. What will bring you life? Torah will bring you life. Ki hem chayeinu ve'erech yoneinu.
Torah is life of a Jew. Mitzvahs will bring you life. It says, Ki ner mitzvah v'tei ror. Mitzvah is like a light. Chesed will bring you life. Person does chesed, says he'll have arichas yomim. Kaber yasavicha v'simecha. Honor your father and mother. Laman yarichun yomecha ala adoma. In order that you should have life. There's 100 different mitzvahs besides Torah itself that the Torah itself says brings you life. This is what the Reichel, the merchant, was telling Rabbi Yannai. David HaMelech is telling us something different. Who is the person that wants life? Let him guard his tongue from evil. David HaMelech passed by all of these other things. And now the question is why? And the Reichel said, the merchant said, the reason is because it's a samchaim. It's a medication that one puts. A sam was a medication that you put right on the body. And what did he mean by this? Sure, Torah and mitzvahs will bring you life. But it's not so easy to come to Torah and mitzvahs. The Gemara says on Torah that there's nothing more difficult to acquire than Torah in the whole world. Kosher liknais ki kesev izov. It's as difficult as to acquire as silver and gold, ki kesev izov uskuchis, and glass. The Gemara says, I can understand why it's so difficult to acquire as silver and gold, but why glass? Says no, v'neach li'shtaber kiskuchis, and it breaks as easy as glass. See, when you buy gold or you buy silver, you made one break it the next day. The glass you buy, you got to constantly replace it. It says Torah has all of the shortcomings. It's as difficult to acquire. Torah and mitzvahs is difficult to acquire as gold and silver. And once you acquire it, it's neach lishtabek eskuchis. It can break just like that. Person doesn't learn one day, he forgets it. Doesn't learn a few days, all of a sudden, you'll see he's not doing mitzvahs. Because the Torah is from another world. It's way above a person. All of the life-giving powers that we find in the physical world is limited, because anything that's physical is limited. It's a great mitzvah for a person to utilize the physical world for its life-giving powers. It's a great mitzvah. We've given shurim on this. But still it has its limitations. First of all, it'll only give him physical life, it won't give him spiritual life. And it has its limitations. Torah is a way above of the person, and the physical realm is below the person. What is like a sam chaim? A sam chaim is something that you can pick up in the chemist and you put it on your skin, on your flesh, and it's dovuk leguf, and it becomes part of the body, and it brings you life. And that's what Rabbi Yannai wanted to know. He says, I'll show you in the Sefer Tehillim. There is nothing closer to the person than his speech. A person's always talking. The easiest thing for the person to do in the world is to talk. Doesn't have to sit down and learn a blat gemara. Says you learn a blat gemara, says you should learn it over 100 times. And then maybe you understand it. And then you can still forget it. Right? Speaking, everyone talks. And the tongue works almost automatically. And it's always with the person.
and it's not below the person in the physical world, and it's not beyond the person that's coming from another world. But it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he created the man and he made him offer min Adama from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a spirit from above, then the man, the earthly man that we know of, he became the speaker. It's the closest thing to a man that's possible. And if that can bring you life, then life is right at our fingertips. We would say, yeah, for sure you can do mitzvahs and get life. Kabir es avicha ves imecha, honor your father and mother, and you'll get life from it. But you know how difficult, what it takes. See? And the same thing with other mitzvahs. But we don't realize that right at our fingertips, every day, every hour, every minute, is achaim v'hamovus. That's what Rabbi Yannai told his daughter. Sure, I knew the pasuk, but he came and he explained it to me what it meant, and therefore he couldn't do enough for this person. He gave him a wonderful feast, and he gave him a lot of money. This teaches us. See, usually you would say you want to do something that you can gain life from. For sure it's going to be something very, very difficult. It's going to be an enormous investment. This is an easy investment. There's nothing easier. Metzor l'shein chomera usvasech medabe mirma. If he guards his tongue from evil, and at the same time he uses it for good, then the David HaMelech explained, and this is the sages explained, right at his fingertips is the possibility of death, the possibility of life. Now, one further point. We see that the sages in the Torah, we see from the Torah that the Torah compares the Baal HaLoshon, the one who slanders, to the Nochash, to the serpent, and to the Metzera, to the leper. Now we know it's why, because the serpent is the first one that spoke Loshon Hora. Like we mentioned, he spoke Loshon Hora against Hashem. And the Metzera, the leper, we know that that's one of the punishments for the Baal Loshon Hora, that he would get leprosy. It's brought Negoim Boim al Loshon Hora. It was an ancient disease, and it was a disease with a supernatural cause, that because of Loshon Hora, a person would be stricken with leprosy. And this is what we found in last week's Sedra at the end of Baal Eisichor with Aaron and Miriam. But why, what is the analogy? Let's see if we can understand a little depth to this. The explanation is the antithesis to the world that we live in is mobus, is death. Because the world was created for what purpose? For man to live. Hashem created a world to put a man in it. Death destroys the man. So thereby death destroys the world. The world wasn't created to have death in it. It came later. So the greatest antithesis to the world is death. Another reason also is, what is the great attribute of the world? Is the fact that it was created for man. Man is the Bechir HaNivro, HaNivroim, the perfection of the creation. And what is the great attribute of man? Like we spoke in the Shir on Shavuos, because he was created B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. Naso Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmoseinu. Let us make man in our image. The image of man was basically that he should stand upright. We see everything was created to go on all fours, and man stands upright because he's similar to the Almighty, who is a king. Man was made a king in this world. So this is the greatness of the world, that it has man, and man has the image of Hashem. It has this king. The greatest isnagdus, the greatest opposite to this, opposition to this, is death. When man dies, he lays down. This is a beetle, destruction of the Tzelem Elokim, of the image of Hashem, of his Malchus. Now, the one who brought death to the world is the serpent. So he's the power of death. And we said also, the tongue, if it's not used properly, is the power of death. This is the analogy between the tongue and the serpent. The serpent is the one who destroyed the world. He destroyed Hashem's world. He brought death to the world. And we see through this, he lost his selim. He also was given a tzas, somewhat of an image of Hashem, because he was created also as a melech, as a king. He was created as the king over all of the highest, all of the animals. And he was upright. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed him and said that Al Gechein Choteilech, you will crawl on your belly. His legs were taken away from him. So the serpent is the one who was a total antithesis to the world. He brought death to the world. And the tongue has that power. And he brought death to the world through the tongue. This is the analogy from the serpent to the tongue. Therefore, what was his punishment? Since he destroyed Hashem's world, he was driven out of the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Oru ato mikol habehemo mikol chayes hasoda. You will be cursed from every living thing. Nobody likes the serpent. Men and women don't like the serpent, and animals don't like the serpent. He was driven out of the world. Evo oshish beinoch uvein zarech. I shall bring hatred between her and you, between her seed and your seed. So a barrier was made where he was driven out of the world. And this is the Balaloshin. Now that's in regards to the serpent. The Metzera is also similar. Tzaras, it says the leper. The Gemara tells us the leper, this disease was something which was totally alien to the human being. It was totally alien. And it made him like a mace. It made him like a dead person. And he was called a mace. And he, the Metzera also, because it came on Loshon Hara, from Loshon Hara, the Metzera also was driven out of the world. Where it says, Chutz l'machane meshoveh, bodid yeshiv. Chutz l'machane meshoveh. He shall dwell in isolation until he's cured, outside of the camp. So these are the analogies between the leper and the serpent and the tongue. Now, from the other aspect, we see that the main part of the world that Hashem created is the Yishuv, society. He created the world for life, for people to live together. And how do people live together? They live together through communication, through speaking. If people couldn't speak to each other, you couldn't have a society. It's this speaking and association and communication that creates the yishuv, the society, the dveikus and the reus, and the chabura, which binds people together. This is why we find in the Dor HaFlogo, after the flood, it states that everyone, kulam was achodim, sofa echos. The whole world was together. They were like one nation, because they all spoke one language. See, different languages create barriers between people. You can't communicate. But after the flood, the whole world was one nation. Even though there were many nations, they were like one nation because Sof Echos. They all spoke the same language. They were bonded together. However, they used it lara. They used it for evil. They said, Hova nivna lonu migdol. Let us go build, and we will build a tower, and we will go make war against Hashem. So what did Hashem do? He came and he was mevaldel their language. He took their language and made it into many, many different languages. And this way he split them up. So what do we see? We see it's through speech and through language that bonds people together. If it's for good, then it's good. If it's for evil, then there can be nothing worse. This is the Chaim and this is the Mobis. This is why the Mishnah tells us in the Sechta Sanhedrin, it states, Pisha l'rishoyim tov la'ilam. When the Rishoyim are kept apart from each other, then it's good for the world. Kinus the Rishoyim, Rala Ilam. When the Rishoyim and the evil come together, then it's bad for the world. See, many times we say it's good for the nations to work together. Not necessarily so. The United Nations might not be the best thing in the world. Because it says if it's Rishoyim, evil nations, then it's better they should be scattered and separated. If they're good, then they should come. It says, "Kinus letzadikim tov la'ilam." For the righteous, pizer ala la'ilam. There, to be scattered is bad. To be brought together is good. Because then, they will use their power, l'chaim, for life. Here we have some very deep insights, mostly from the Maromi Prague, in what the power of the tongue is, something which is very, very close to the person. He utilizes it hundreds, if not thousands of times a day. And the Moves V'Achayim Biyat HaLoshon, that here in it is both the power of evil, which there can be no greater evil, or the power of good, which there can be no greater good. We should all be zecher to use it for good.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.